John Walden. Join me in our Bible study, will you? Philippians, the last chapter. We have come now to verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. That is, they had sent something to him. That's one of the reasons why this letter was written, because he wanted to thank them for the money that they had sent to him to help in the support of the gospel. Your care of me has flourished again. It's revived, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He doesn't blame them because they were not able to help him. Paul never begs. Modern methods are not honoring to the Lord. We're told plainly in John's epistle that the early preachers went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. They went forth for his name's sake. What they did because they loved the Lord. They taught the Christians their duty, and they mention it in the epistles. The Spirit of God has given us all the instruction that we need. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are on this subject. But Paul never begged. He never told people that they ought to give him more. He commends them because they did take care of him. But now, they had a good reason for neglecting in the past. The only good reason there is, in fact, was a lack of opportunity. But the time has come now and they can help him again, and they have sent some more money to him. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. That is, I'm not complaining, for I have learned, and this word learned means that it's something which he learned by a process, a learning process. It took time. It takes time for all of us to learn this. Some of us never learn it. What did he learn? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, the word content here was a word that was used by the Stoics. We saw in our last chapter that the Epicureans had a philosophy that if you enjoy it, it's good. Do anything that you feel like doing. The Stoics were the very opposite. They were the people who said that they should not be affected by anything, good or bad, that their happiness should be completely independent of external circumstances. But of course it failed, because no human being can do this by himself. But here he tells us that it is Christ who gives him the strength to do this. He's not a stoical, self-sufficient one, but he's a person who has learned in whatever state he is, to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And let me tell you that it takes more grace from the Lord to abound than it does to suffer need. It's much harder to be full than it is to be hungry. It takes a steady hand to carry a full cup. And there are many Christians who have done well while they were having hardships and difficulties. But when they became affluent, when they had plenty of everything, they seemed to forget the Lord. The wise King Solomon prayed that God would not give him riches, lest he would forget him. I feel sorry for our brothers and sisters who have all they need in this world. Too often they get to where they live for this, and they forget their need and dependence on God. John Bunyan wrote, he who is down need fear no fall. So when we're at a low ebb, when things are not going so well in our lives, let's thank God that he's keeping us from being lifted up with pride. Now, we are not promised plenty in this life. The Apostle Paul was a godly man, yet he knew how to be hungry. Temporal blessings, earthly blessings, were promised to the Jews. I want to make this plain. There are too many Christians who think that they can expect that God will see that they always have a full table, always have two cars in every garage, two chickens in every pot. They'll always have plenty in this world. The Lord has not promised it to his children. And many dear Christians today are suffering privation and hunger, and they're being mistreated. They're living in some of the countries behind the curtains where life is almost unbearable. Is God failing them? Of course not. He promised to give us what we need. And this may be what you need, brother and sister. You and I may need difficulties in our lives. These things may be God's very best for us. Anyway, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do this not because I am a stoic, not because I am different from other people. Of course, I'm affected by these things, but Christ strengthens me. Now, how does Christ strengthen us? Well, of course, he strengthens us by his example. As I think of the Lord Jesus living here on this earth with no place to lay his head, it's much easier for me to take the difficulties of life. If I remember how he met temptations and difficulties in life, it's much easier for me to do the same. If I get into his presence and pray for the strength and help that I need, as my high priest, he meets me and strengthens me for these difficulties and for these temptations, just as Melchizedek met Abraham in the 14th chapter of Genesis and strengthened him. He fed him with bread and wine. Of course, we know that the bread and wine speaks of the death of our blessed Lord. So the more I meditate on the Savior and think about him, the stronger I am to do the things that I need to do. He helps me to be what I ought to be. Now, this is only possible through divine enabling. Only Christ can strengthen us to do these things. Our responsibility is to draw on his resources. Have you learned, whatever comes in your life, to be content? Have you learned not to expect a great deal out of this life? Or are you one of these frustrated, disappointed people who feel that life has cheated them? Perhaps you're resentful against your husband or your wife or some relative or the boss because you feel you're not getting a fair shake. You're not getting all that you ought to have. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you ought to learn to draw on the patience of Christ. Be strengthened by him so that no matter what comes, you will still be content. Why, the word for suffer need at the close of verse 12 actually means privation. Then he says to them, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, to communicate means simply to send to him some of the things which he needed. It was a matter of affliction. He was suffering, because when they sent to him was while he was at Thessalonica. It was pretty difficult there at Thessalonica. So he said, you have well done that you did communicate, that you sent for me. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And by the way, the words giving and receiving are bookkeeper's words, and they refer to the credit and the debit column. So you see, when we give to the Lord and to his servants, those who are trying to serve him, we are putting something down in the credit column. Now, this does not mean that it's helping us toward salvation, because if you're not a Christian, you have no right to give to the Lord anyway. Unsaved people can't give to God, but those who have received Christ as Savior are given this privilege of giving to the Lord. So he said, you were the only Christians who stood by me when I left Macedonia to go into these difficult places to preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul made it his business to preach the gospel. He looked to the Lord to take care of the rest of it. And this should be every preacher's attitude. He should not be concerned about what he's going to get. He certainly should never think of doing so much for so much. But he should serve the Lord in the gospel and then look to the Lord to move the hearts of his people to see that he has what he needs. Now, I'm speaking from experience. I can tell you that in the last 35 years, when I have not had a salary from any source, that the Lord has not only taken care of my personal needs and of my family's needs, but he has enabled my wife and me to take care of homeless children, and we spent some $500,000 or more in the care of homeless children. And this has come in answer to prayer. I know that God can supply the needs of those who seek to serve him. Now, notice that there is a record here of what these Christians did at Philippi. There are two kinds of records. Unsaved people have a record of sins. Thank God this record can be blotted out. If you receive Christ as your Savior, He will blot out the record of your sins. He says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. There's another record, and this is the record of the good deeds of believers. Now, this will not count towards your salvation. Salvation is a free gift. This we have already received. When we heard the gospel story, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ by faith in Him. We accepted Him as our Savior, and we received eternal life and a home in heaven as a free gift. But now the things that we do that are pleasing to the Lord are recorded, and one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to reward His children for all that they have done out of love to Himself. We can't do this as a matter of duty, but we can do it because we love Him. We should give because we love the Lord. We should give because we are stewards of the Lord. We should give because we feel that we are debtors to the Lord. He's already given us so much that we ought to be glad for the opportunity of giving a little to Him. And these Philippians were glad for the opportunity, and God puts it on His record, and it's recorded in heaven. When you receive the gospel, then you ought to tell it and send it to all the others to whom you can. Have you received the gospel? If not, will you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior just now? He paid your debt at the cross. He died that you might have eternal life. He'd like to make you one of His own children, and then you could serve Him and give to Him and do things for Him. Let's join thanksgiving. Our Father, we are thankful to Thee for sending Thy Son to be our Savior. We thank Thee for what He accomplished for us on the cross. And now we thank Thee for the privilege of serving Him here in this life. Bless Thy dear children. Save the unsaved, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.